Good morning, Wellsville Full Gospel. Let's stand together. It is a glorious day. Did Jesus call your name one day? Did Jesus call your name one day? Have you come to Him? And when He did that, He called you out of your grave. Glory to His name. Oh, it's a glorious day. Thank you, Lord. I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my truth till I met you. I was breathing but not alive. It was my tomb till I met you. You called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name. Now your mercy has saved my soul. Now your freedom is all that I know. The old made new, Jesus, when I met you. You called my name and I ran. Out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name and I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness into your glorious day. I needed rescue, my sin was heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan, now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing, now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open, 'cause when you call my name, out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name and I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness into your glory. You called my name and I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name and I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness into your glorious day. Oh, we praise your name, Lord. Thank you for calling us out of darkness. Oh, glory to your name, our God. Oh, praise your name. Oh, Ramamamantahai. praise your name, Lord. Oh, praise your name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Have you accepted the new identity, the new life, the old made new when you met Jesus? Oh, glory to his name. Thank you, Lord. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus, till every dark affliction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name darkness over every enemy. Jesus, for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus! Shout Jesus from the mountain. Jesus in the street. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus, for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. Shout Jesus from the mountain, shout Jesus from the mountain. Jesus in the street, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus, shout Jesus from the mountain. Jesus in the street, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. is for my family. I speak the holy name, Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. Your name is power. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. Oh God, we speak your holy name. Oh, glory to your name. Oh, Rama Mama Tasha. Oh, blessed be your name. Oh, our God, our God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Today, look at the Goliath. Look at the Goliath that's been taunting you and saying you can't, you won't be able to, nothing is going to happen. And speak Jesus to that mountain. Speak Jesus to that giant. Oh, the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, Jesus, we speak that wonderful name, name above all names. Oh, Ramabapahai, Jesus. Oh, Rabakasatashai. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Yeah.
Because the enemy would come and say to you, I will hold you because of the past. But I come to you and I say, I have forgiven the past. I have washed away the past. Look to me this day and believe me that I make all things new. And I am not a man that I should lie, and I am not a man that I should hold a grudge. But I am a man, I am the God of the universe that says, I make all things new.
Oh, Jesus.
When you bring it up to me, I say, what are you talking about? It is under the blood of Jesus. Look forward, and believe that I am able to do a new thing. Do you not perceive it? If you don't perceive it, you will not walk into it. When I say to you, perceive it as faith, take steps of faith, and believe that I make all things new. Heard about Goliath. Goliath is dead, I say to you. Look to me. I have given you the hope and the future.
Saints, let's receive that word this morning. Thank you, Father. Oh, we give you glory, Lord. Oh, Rabahara Mama. Oh, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching out for that which is before. Help us, Lord, to press toward the prize. Oh, Ramabapatarai. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Ramamai. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we give you glory. We give you glory, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Do you feel the world is broken?
We do.
Do you feel the shadows deepen?
We do.
But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through?
We do.
Do you wish that you could see it all made? All creation groaning,
it is.
Is a new creation coming,
it
is. Is the glory of the Lord to be the life within our midst,
it is.
Is it good that we remind ourselves? Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the lamb who died to ransom the slave. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy of it? Does the Father truly love us? Spirit move among us,
he does.
And does Jesus our Messiah hold forever those he loves?
He does.
Does our God intend to dwell again with us?
He does.
Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave,
he is David's root and the Lamb who died
to ransom the slave from every people and tribe. Every nation and tongue, he has made us a kingdom and priests to God to reign with his Son. Is he worthy? Is he worthy? Your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the good. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life, you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. Your goodness is running after. Running after me. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after. is running after me. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of goodness. Your goodness is running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh God, your faithful Lord. Oh, your faithful, faithful God. Oh, your goodness, Lord, runs after us. Oh, faithful God. Oh, faithful God. Oh, Rabbi. Oh, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your goodness, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. Oh, God, we thank you, Father, for your faithfulness, your goodness, Lord. Father, we can rest. We can count on you. You never fail us. You never fail us. You never fail us. Oh, God, help us, Lord, in the day where we're tempted to doubt your goodness, doubt your faithfulness. When the enemy rises up and lies and says that God is not faithful, Lord, help us to remember your faithfulness. Remember your goodness. Oh, Jesus. Lord, we declare it today. We declare it over every inch of our lives that you are faithful. Every single inch, every circumstance, every finance, every job situation, every friend, every family member, every conflict, Lord. You are faithful. You are good. We can rest in you. We can trust you, Lord. Oh, glory to your name, Lord. Thank you for it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we thank you. Did you hear the voice of the Spirit of God today telling us, forgetting those things which are behind? The greatest enemy to the future are all the stuff that's in the past. that tries to cling. Oh, receive that word today, saints. We've been given a new identity, a new life in Christ, a new nature, a new mind. Oh, God, help us to walk in that, Lord. Reprogram our brain to agree with what your word says is true. Oh, God, we thank you that every word you've said is true. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Amen, amen. I have a question for you. What are you going to do with the word you heard this morning? What are you going to do with it? Jesus said, take heed how you hear. And we talked about that before. He didn't say take heed what you hear. He said take heed how you hear. What are you going to do with the word that you heard from the throne of God today? The new identity. The old is gone. The new has come. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Oh, glory to God. Oh, God, help us to reprogram our brains. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Thank you, Lord. I don't have any specific prayer requests to our body this morning, but I want us to continue to remember, as we're instructed, the nation of Israel. And if you look at that country today, everything is coming against Israel. And we want to pray. We're instructed to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And I want to pray for that whole region today. And we have much happening in our country today. And we're not going to talk about politics today. But we are going to talk about how much our country needs Jesus. And our region. So let's join and pray together. Father, we lift up the country of Israel today. Father, you said that they were the apple of your eye, and we see them surrounded on every side. Father, we pray that you would protect your people. Protect these precious ones. Lord, and Lord, I know there are many in that country, many who are natural Jews that have not become spiritual Jews and need their Messiah. Father, I pray a great and tremendous blessing upon the Christian, upon the messianic ministries within that country in this hour, that they would be mightily endued with the power of God. Lord, just as we saw in the days of the apostles, that you would confirm your word with signs and wonders. God, that many Jewish people in this day would receive their Messiah. And God, that you would push back the enemies of Israel in this day. Uncover every hidden and evil thing. Father, we pray for our country today. We see our country in a rapid decline in some sectors, running as hard as they can away from God. But Lord, we know that you are the God of the best of times and the God of the worst of times, and that you delight to move in the worst of times. So, Father, we're praying for mighty revival to break out in our nation, Lord. We pray that you would do it. And, Father, we pray for our own town here in Wellsville. Father, why not here? God, why not here? Let the fire of revival fall here. Lord, we pray that people would begin to awaken from their slumber. God, that people would see the crisis that they're in, that they need a Savior, that they would be convicted and come to you. God, that you would move in this hour in our region. Lord, I pray for every physical need that's represented in the body here today. Father, I pray for the gift of healing to be manifested in bodies. Lord, Father, for Sister Judy, she needs a touch with her shoulder. For Brother Curtis, he needs a touch in his shoulder. Lord, touch their bodies, Lord, I pray. Father, for everybody who's struggling physically, God, I pray that you would manifest gifts of healings. Lord, let the Spirit of God move. Bring healing, Father, for every soul in this house that needs a touch. Lord, people who need a touch in their back, Lord. We've got some bad backs here, Lord. Father, we've got some people that need touches in different places. Lord, I pray that you would do miracles of healings, Father. Pour it out, Father, we pray. And we believe you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory, glory to your name. Thank you, Lord. Well, if you didn't know, we have a guest speaker here today. You'll know in a minute. We have our brother Phil McNeil. I'm just so blessed. Years ago, Brother Phil, wonderful things would happen. A man named Carlton Spencer would just appear out of nowhere. He would just, unannounced, he would walk in. And he was, Carlton was the son of the president, the founder of Elam Fellowship, Ivan Q. Spencer. Carlton was the second president. And he would walk in, and you would just think he was another person who walked into the church. And there he was. And when our brother Phil walked in today, he walked in like he was just another person in the church. And I appreciate that spirit. It's very precious. So let's welcome our brother today, Brother Phil McNeil from Elam Fellowship. And brother, thank you for coming today. God bless you. And if you're unmuted,
I think I want to be alive. I want to be alive. Hallelujah.
Bless the Lord. Hey there.
Hey there. Hallelujah. It's got a red light. Is it working? No? You don't know. It's working. Oh, it's working? Thank you. What's up? Yeah. I've never felt it working.
There we go. That's it. You know, we're going to start a course at Bible school, how to turn on microphones. It's going to be a 3-credit course because most pastors and leaders just don't know how to turn those babies on. Hey, it's good to be here. Man, I was in Wellsville back in 1986. I was a student at Elam Bible Institute, and I was down when you were downtown. And I remember always because when I was driving down here, there was a girl on the team, and her parents owned a chicken farm. And when you pass Burns, there's this big chicken. And I remember her going, look at the size of that chicken. And, of course, she never heard the end of that for at least 2 years when she was, every time she'd come over a block by, look at the size. Okay, Phil, will you leave me alone? Hallelujah. If you don't know me, my name is Phil McNeil. I just recently became the president of Elam Fellowship, but my greatest claim to fame is I'm married for over 30 years. I have 4 daughters. And yeah, come on, 4 great girls. They're 30 down to 22. My wife and I just became empty nesters. And so they're all, thank the Lord, as much as they can be self-supporting. Every now and then I get a little phone call, Dad! But overall, they're carrying themselves and doing really good. And my wife this morning is carrying the church that we were involved. We've been involved there over 30 years. We were a church plant out of the Elam Gospel Church, merged with another group, and 30 years ago, and raised all my kids in that church. I want you to know that we've never had ups and downs. I just want you to know that everything went perfect all those years. So I understand the local church. I understand the local church, and I know the ups and downs and the all-arounds, but this is what I do know. It is required of a steward that they be found faithful. And so when you stand faithful and believe God, God will come through. COVID hit us hard. Nobody died. But we had 13 young families move. They moved to Florida. They moved to Tennessee. They moved to North Carolina. And they moved to South Carolina. And I don't blame them one bit because the weather here and the economy in Rochester isn't terrible, but it's not steady. And then all their parents were in these places. So they said, hey, if you come, bring the grandchildren, we will get you a house. We will help you out. And so they all moved down there. So I know the ups and downs. My wife is covering the church now. I'm full-time at the Old Fellowship, and I give oversight to the church. But she's preaching this morning and carrying the work there, because when we made her co-pastor 3 years ago and ordained her, there was not even a hiccup in the church, because she'd served the church for 28 years. They knew her. This is what, they're sheep, right? So they're eating. We're going to ordain Cheryl, make her co-pastor at the church. They look their heads up like that. They go, okay. Just like that. Right back to it. And so we're very blessed. And the church has grown. What's going on is people are getting saved. I mean, no, I'd like to tell you what I'm doing. I'd write a book and sell it. But people are getting saved. People are coming into the church. I'm going to tell you, 2 years ago, it was not a happy time. It was not an encouraging time some Sundays to show up. But you stay faithful. You stay steady. And God brings them in. I'm telling you, God will bring them in one by one. I'm all for every church thing you can get, any program, anything you can study, any app you can get, any iPod you can get, any podcast you can get. But at the end of the day, I'm telling you right now, God builds his church. Get it all, but I don't put my hope in that. My hope is in the Lord all day long. And he will be faithful when you are faithful. He's not a man that he should lie. He is steady. Pastor, I had a word for you. I'm going to bring you into some very unique situations. And you're going to have favor in those situations. There are people who would not fit in those situations. But I come to you today and I say, you're going to fit in those situations. And you're going to bear fruit. It will be fruit that might not be seen in your eye as the kingdom of God. It will be in part. But it will be fruit that brings things and brings people to the kingdom and also provides salt. For I am not done with you yet. I have things even in your heart that I put years ago that I will bring to pass. And you will see the fruition even of the things that you so desired in your own mind that I put in your own mind. They are natural things, but I will make them supernatural, and I will make them something for you that brings a fulfillment and an increase, not only in the spiritual, but in the natural. For I've called you to have feet in both worlds. I've called you to have feet in the church and feet in the secular world. But I'm telling you right now, I'll fulfill you, but I have a plan far beyond the secular increase or blessing that I will bring to your life. For I have never left you or forsook you. I've helped you in every situation, and you've been willing to bend. You've been willing to find a way. You've been willing to do whatever it takes, and because of that, you will see fruit for what you have sown. I am a God who is faithful, and I will be faithful to you. Look for unique things that will fit you, but I will bring natural blessing and spiritual blessing. And for this house, this church, I am going to start to bring them in one by one. And I am going to move people even to this area. I heard two words, to this area and back to this area. And they will find their home and their hope in this place. So do not despair. Do not think when. Listen to me when I tell you, all your days are numbered by me. All my ways are perfect. All your days were ordained for you before even one of them came into being. So be patient. Look for the one, then look for another. But be patient and believe that I am going to again build in this house the things that was even a promise. And the glory of the latter house will be better than the former. Hallelujah. So be encouraged in the Lord. Is Judy in here? Judy, she's in the nursery. Word for Judy. You're blessed you married Tom. No, that's not that. That's not the word. No, it's okay. Tom, you can pass it on. I am going to provide for you in ways that you never even thought. And you have always known my provision. You have always known my help. But I'm going to provide for you in ways that you do not need to worry about tomorrow. And it's not that you're worried. You know who your God is. This is not a reproof. It's an encouragement that you're going to see my hand undertake. And even in the things that you've been faithful in, don't think that I have not seen it. Don't think that I don't know. But I have seen your faithfulness,
and you will be surprised at the doors that I will open for you. Be encouraged this day. I will provide for you above and beyond what you could even ever hope or ask or think. And I'm talking about natural provision. I'm talking about finances. I'm talking about helping you in ways that you never even expected. Even though I've done it already, it's only the beginning. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Hallelujah. This gentleman over here, in this other brown here, you popped me right there. That's right. I heard the word principle, and the Lord spoke to my heart and said, you're a man of principle, and I'm going to let those principles, again, bring come into your life in strength. You're always going to see me help you, but I'm going to also start to move within you an incredible, and this is not a hard word, but an incredible flexibility of the love and the goodness of God. For you're going to see the, and it's not that it's not there now, this is just an encouragement. You're going to start to see my love so poured out, so beyond principle. You see, the thing with God is, he cannot change who he is. He is a God of principle. But the thing about God is, there's times in our lives when he gives us unmerited favor, unmerited blessing. And, you know, it's one thing to sow, be not deceived, God cannot be mocked, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. These are principles, these are true facts. But there's another thing, that even when you don't even deserve it, and I'm not talking about gross sin and then God bless you, I'm just talking about you're going through life and unmerited favor comes your way. You've known principle, but I'm going to start to show you even unmerited favor and blessing upon your life. And even things that you thought from the past that could not be redeemed, even circumstances, the Lord comes and says, I'm going to start to move in those things that you thought were beyond help or beyond even being, as it were, restored or rebuilt or redeemed. I'm going to start to show you my hand working on your behalf to redeem and to restore and to rebuild even those things that you have said it has gone by the wayside. God comes and says, it's not gone by my wayside. I'm going to start to come and show you unmerited favor. You've known principle and you've known blessing from it, but you're going to start to know unmerited favor and blessing in things that even in things where maybe principle was not honored, I'm going to come and restore by my amazing grace. My amazing grace. Hey, if you're listening to this, I would take that word for your life. I'm serious. I really feel that's not just for him. That's for some people out here. You're going to start to see amazing grace restoration in your life. Even things that you know, this is for several out here, but even things that you know that you made mistakes, that you violated principle. And it's not that God cannot change who he is. He cannot do that. But there are ways that God is able to restore even what the locust has devoured. Even what was sown in a way that was not good. God is able to come after repentance and brokenness and grace and forgiveness and be able to restore and rebuild out of his amazing, amazing grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I really even feel for this house. I believe that when Saul passed, I believe it was Saul, David mourned. And I believe I got the names right. Sometimes my mind isn't as sharp as it used to be. But there was a point in the scripture where God said to him, forget Saul, move forward. And sometimes there's things that will hold us in our lives from things that we're grieving over. And God is saying, let the dead bury the dead. It's time to move forward. It's time to move on. It's time to believe God. I know for me, even in my life, there's been different things where I've had regrets, or I wish that hadn't happened, or I wish that, you know, we could go back to what was, but it's done. And it's time to look forward. Set your affection forward. Set your affection on things above. And to let the mourning is a process, but you can't keep mourning forever. If you're going to move forward, there's a time where you have to move beyond mourning. I'm not saying there isn't a time to mourn. If there's anybody here that's had something happen, I get that. But there comes a point where you have to shake it off. Even in the scriptures, David, he had to come to a point where he got up, washed himself, and went to the temple and worshiped. And so there comes a time in life and in different things where you have to go. And even if you're here and there was something in your life that was even a pain as the result of sin, I feel the Lord really comes to you today and says, you've confessed it, you've paid the price, it's time to come to the house of the Lord and worship. Oh God, we come this morning, we are but frail creatures, frail creatures, Lord. We all were emotional, and Lord, you gave us those emotions. I pray for anyone here this morning over different things that have happened, that God, you would heal their emotions right now. Anything, Lord, that's holding them, that they've become captive, Lord. Lord, I pray right now that you would heal, either by their mistake or a mistake that somebody did to them or whatever, God. These things need to be freed up for us to be freed up. They break the log jam when we give them to you. And Lord, the Bible does say weeping does remain for the night. And there is a time for sackcloth and ashes. There is a time to be that way. But then there comes a time to put it all away and move forward. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. It's good to be here. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. No matter where you are, when you come, one of the things years ago, I was on a traveling ministry team, and I would, we would minister in, praise song, high school. We would minister in a little over 200 churches a year, right? But everywhere you went, it was the same Jesus. And in this place, it's the same Jesus. Amen? And so I feel at home. I hope that's a good thing. We'll find out here as time goes on. But I want to thank Tom and Judy. And Tom is the Global Missions Director at Elam Fellowship. And Tom is a man of experience and a man of authority among the missionaries. Tom just came in for a year to grace us for that year. I don't even worry about global missions with Tom at the helm. And Tom just stabilizes the whole thing because Tom has done it. Tom's not young. Yes, he is. He's young. I have a little fun there, you know. But he's got vast experience. And so that experience in the kingdom and pastoring and missions work, if you ever want to hear a story, hear the story from Tom of when he was sick on the mission field. It will break your heart of the goodness of God and also of Tom as a person who understands that there are times in life when serving God is hard, but God is faithful as you are faithful. Amen? And so thank you, Tom. Tom's a tremendous blessing to me. Amen. Hallelujah. This young lady back here in the brown with the white stripe, don't worry, I'm not going to embarrass you. I got four daughters. I know not to embarrass girls. They'll never forget it. But I have a good word for you. God sees you right where you are. And God has seen you even in the times where you've locked in and been faithful. Even when things around you seem difficult or unfaithful, the Lord comes to you and says, I will honor you for your faithfulness. And do not think that even those times where you've felt like, God, you hear, or you felt alone, or you've cried out to him even in the midnight hour, that he has not seen and he has not heard. God hears your cry. In fact, God is going to start to increase you in the area of prayer and intercession for different situations. One of the things I appreciate about my wife has a gift of intercession, and she has a gift of spiritual warfare. She will start praying for something. We've been married over 30 years, my wife and I. And over the years, there's been about 10 or 12 times, not a lot of times, where she has done battle in prayer, and God has heard her, and God has heard her cry. And the Lord comes to you and he says, he sees your faithfulness, he sees your steadfastness, and he will bring you forth. And do not think, even in the things that are difficult, where you've held fast, that God does not see it. Those times where you have held fast, you will reap a harvest if you don't give up, and you won't give up. That's a scripture. You will reap a harvest if you don't give up. You will reap a harvest even in the times where it's been difficult, but you have remained faithful. God hears your cry. Hallelujah. I'm going to share with you this morning out of John 3. It's a scripture the Lord's laid on my heart over this weekend. I'm actually going to be in Lancaster. Monday I drive down to Lancaster. I'm going to be ministering with, I think there's close to 30 different leaders. And I'm going to share the same scripture because God's really laid it on my heart for this season, for this week. And, you know, pastoring for 30 years, I have about 1,000 sermons on my computer. Yeah. So when I want to speak on something, the Lord spoke on my heart, born again. So I get on my computer, I go born again, and I have about 5 sermons on being born again. And then I add fresh stuff to it, but I take all that old work I did, and I add it too. So I want to talk to you about being born again this morning. For some of you, it might seem like, well, that's pretty basic there, Pastor Phil. But I think there's some things in it I think will be a blessing to you. If you have your Bible, John 3 is where I'm going to be starting from. And hallelujah. John 3, starting in verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. John 3. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you're doing if God were not with him. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. You can keep your thumb there, your finger. I think we tend to forget that there's another kingdom. Now you might say, no, we don't forget that, but we do. Because I think we think that somehow or other, everything happens at our planning and in our strength and in our ability. But the things of this life sometimes are influenced by other things. They're influenced by the kingdom of this world, or the kingdom of the enemy. But there is a kingdom far above all else, because I'm going to tell you right now, in over 30 years of pastoring, I've done some things. I've, you know, got a master's degree. I've done all sorts of things, gotten education, listened to everything I can. But I'm going to tell you right now, the thing that has really built the church has been more spiritual than natural. Prayer. Calling out to God, believing God, that realizing that the weapons of our warfare are not what? Carnal. And so we've had times in the church where I've called the church to prayer. One time I called them to prayer. I was believing God for, it was either 4 or 5 new, good, steady, strong young couples, right? So you can't win as a pastor, because then I had couples in the church offended because they said, what, we're not steady and young and we're not strong? No, that's not what I said. I said I wouldn't be here and the church wouldn't be here if it wasn't for your faithfulness. But we got to a season, and for months we prayed for this to happen. And after about, within a year or less than a year, I can't remember now, we had 4 or 5, and I can't remember the number, young couples come into the church and become a strength to the church. And so the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We have another kingdom, and there are spiritual dimensions that are involved. And, you know, I didn't go to God with some selfish motivation of wanting the church to grow. I went to God, and I said, I want 4 or 5 young couples, and I want them here to strengthen the work that we can do the work of the kingdom. And God sovereignly brought them in. I'm going to tell you right now, people need to feel called to a church. When you feel called, you're there. I had this beautiful young family years ago, and when we were way down, you know, walk into the church, and on their way out, I found this out years later, they asked their young boy, he was 5 years old, they said, what did you think? He goes, I think we've found the church we're called to. And that's all they need to hear, because it bore witness with them. People are called. People just, we get the mindset that we think we have to in some way have programs and do this and do that and have some kind of natural thing. And none of that's necessarily wrong. But when people feel called, they will stay. I've learned as a pastor, when people feel called, you can't get rid of them.
It's true. But if they don't feel called, it can be the littlest thing you said or did, and they are out the door. But when they're called, they stay steadfast. And I know you're here today because you feel called. And the church rises and falls on that, that people feel called. I've been in Elam Fellowship for decades because it's always perfect. You don't have to laugh that hard. Because I feel called there. I came down from Canada. I mean, I was born in Ireland. Parents moved to Canada when I was four. I grew up in Canada. Come down to Elam, sit at Elam Bible Institute. I'm going to tell you, it was the glorious facilities that kept me there. No, it was the hand of God that kept me there. I knew I was called to that place. And then when I graduated and I started a church, and I want you to know, in all my years, I've never been offended as a pastor or as a local church by Elam Fellowship. Never! But I felt called. And so the kingdom of God, when it gets in, I couldn't go. Well, I'm upset, Lord. Well, I don't care if you're upset. You stay there, will you? Get over it. I want you to know they crucified me and spat on me. What are you going to tell me? Well, not much, God. Not much after that one right there. You feel called. You see, it's another kingdom, and the Holy Spirit comes into your life. You're born by the Holy Spirit. And verse 5 here, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You're not called to a church by the flesh. You won't make it. You're called to a church. You're called to where you are. You're called to what you're doing by the call of the Holy Spirit. You're not birthed of the will of man, because it won't work. You can't will yourself. You remain steady because flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at me saying you can be, you may be, oh, you should be. No, you must be born again. That's how God gets it done. Because we are selfish, self-centered, and self-absorbed, especially me. But when you understand you're of another kingdom, and you have a king, your life is not your own, you're bought with a price. You must be born again. That's how God gets it done. Because we're born from another kingdom. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. I remember when I told some friends I was going to the Elam Bible Institute all those decades ago. And the surprise was my unbelieving friends had more understanding of me going to a Bible school than my believing friends. You're going where? You don't, Phil, you're in university. You're getting a bachelor's in business. You're going to what? Elam who? But some of my secular friends, they would say, Phil, I think that's really good that you're seeking the Lord that way. Probably because they thought I really needed it. No, by that, anybody needs to go to Bible school, Phil, it's you. You see, when you're of another kingdom, you do things that don't make sense. It made no sense in the natural for me to leave London, Ontario, Canada, where I was loved, where I had good jobs, good contacts, good business contacts, good education. I had already been offered a job before I even graduated. It made no sense in the natural to walk away from that and go to a Bible school in the middle of Lima, New York, that has one stoplight, and they don't even have a big M anymore. It's such the kingdom. The kingdom gets in your heart, gets in your life. How can this be, Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and you do not understand these things? I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know, and we testify of what we have seen, but still you people do not accept. For God, verse 16, so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. You see, even God understood what it was meant to be a part of another kingdom, that he sent his only Son. What does it mean to be born again? The word is two Greek words, geneo, anothen. Geneo means to literally be born, to bring forth, to conceive. Anothen means from above,
By analogy, you were born from above. And that word geneo is not just some little word. It's a word, and the root of it is where we get the word for the male seed that literally impregnates a woman. You are impregnated by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes into your life, and you are born again. And that seed is planted, and that seed begins to grow, and you begin to see the world, not in the kingdom of this earth, but of the kingdom of God. And when you see it that way, you realize it is not about you. It's not about you. It's about the kingdom of God born from above. It's a supernatural thing. It changes you. Changes your outlook on what you think's important. When I decided to go to Elam, I was living in a little apartment. I was not rich, but I had everything on a very small level that the world could offer. I had a good education. I had job prospects. I had an apartment that overlooked London, Ontario, Canada, on the 11th floor. I had a little two-seater convertible. I was doing really good, but I was miserable. Because the things of this earth did not satisfy me. I remember sitting on my balcony looking out there and I'm thinking to myself, everything's looking good, everything's looking forward, I'll be able to do these things that I want to do with my life, but I'm sitting here and I'm going, none of it fulfills me. None of it. Now, not everybody's called to go to Elam and go into full-time ministry, but everybody's called to have the kingdom of God in their life and understand that the only thing that matters are the things of God, and the only thing that fulfills is the things of God, and the only thing that blesses your life is the kingdom of God. Because if you allow the kingdom of God into your life, it blesses your marriage, it blesses your family, it blesses your children, because the kingdom is not just something that's a nice idea. It gets in and it bursts everywhere it goes. It gets in there and it grows in your marriage, grows in your family. And you live not by the kingdom of yourself or this world. It changes you completely. I am all for the four spiritual laws track. Hallelujah. And my mom always thought there was something wrong with her because she didn't fall off like, Peter in his eyes? Paul, where the scales had to come off his eyes, you know what I mean? Like he fell on. God, she didn't have that kind of fall off the horse experience when she found Jesus. She just said, Jesus, I accept you, and I come into my heart and my life, but she didn't feel anything emotional. She always struggled with that. So I'm not against the four spiritual laws, but I'm going to tell you, my mom got saved, her mom got saved, her brothers got saved, and God worked in their life because what came into her in that moment of the kingdom of God affected generations. I'm going to tell you something. You can't play with the kingdom of God, and you can't play with doing your own thing. You can't say, I'm going to do my own thing, build my own thing, because it's not just that it affects you. It affects your children and your children's children. This kingdom of God thing is not something, well, maybe I will, maybe I won't. No, it's life or death. The Bible says, I put before you this day, life or death, choose. I chose the kingdom because I knew even in my parents' life, who were godly people, there was areas where they were so involved in the world that it affected us as kids, and there was things of the kingdom that they put aside, and it affected us, and I said, this has affected our family. This thing in the kingdom is not a choice, it's life. My life. All my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I have done nothing for God. He has done everything for me as I have chosen his kingdom. There's nothing better. I'm giving you, want the secret to life and success? Be born again. Let God into your life. Let God work in your children. Let God work in your marriage. Let God work in your finances. Let God in. Because he's not taking from you. He's giving you everything. You must be born again. Born from above. Make decisions that are based on the kingdom. I'm very blessed that all four of my girls are serving God. I look at beautiful people who sometimes their children aren't serving God, and I've had people in my church, beautiful people, and sometimes one or two of their children aren't serving God. I have no answer for that. But I can tell you, in our family, it sure isn't me. It might be my wife. It sure isn't me. My kids are serving God, and I think it's because there were times, by the grace of God, not by my strength, not by my righteousness, I am a human being, but somehow in all of it, the choosing of the kingdom of God sowed into them that they chose the kingdom of God also. Now, they're all different. They don't always agree with Dad on everything now, which does not go over well with me. I just want you to know that right now. We've had some intense fellowship over the last few years because now they're adults. At least they think they are. But I can say this, they know Jesus. They know the Lord. And their lives are blessed because of the kingdom of God, and they know it. God can redeem your life. My grandfather, a farmer in Ireland, Grandfather McNeil, Grandpa McNeil, was an alcoholic. His joy in life was to get in a fight. So he worked hard all week in his little farm, and then he'd go in to drink on the weekend. And he'd sit in the pub there in Ireland, and if you said it was pink, he'd say it was orange. And then if you agreed with him, he'd say, no, it was pink. Just to get in a fight, that was his joy in life. Many times he'd come home and pass out on the road. Now, if you've ever been in Ireland and you've seen the ditches and the amount of rain they get, it's by the grace of God he never drowned. That's a fact. But God got into his life and he went to a little brethren meeting hall and he accepted Jesus Christ and he got totally set free from alcohol. And then he became the pastor of a little group. He didn't get paid. It was just a little group of 20 people, 30 people. They met in a little hall. He became the pastor of that little work. Then the Latter-day rain hit Ireland, and he and my father, Ben McNeil, got filled with the Holy Spirit in a powerful way, and their lives were never the same. That generational blessing, now I'm third generation, first time, that I'm full-time in the ministry because of the generational blessing of someone that chose the kingdom, that changed their lives, and God was able to redeem the generations by the kingdom and the purposes of God. My mom got saved, her mom got saved, and she was from a family of 52 kids. I don't know, I'm a kid. 13 kids or something like that. I've been to the little farm in Ireland. It's a turf farm. Now they're all multimillionaires because they turned their turf business into, they do pitches for athletic domes and things like that. So they've learned from that how to do really good pitches for soccer and all that. And so they're all really rich now, and it's a long story. But anyhow, two of my uncles, one of them was about 52, got saved, used to drink a fifth of whiskey, whatever that is. That's probably not a lot, I know, but every day got saved and got totally delivered. Throughout my mom's family, I think all but one or two of her siblings have come to Christ because God got in their lives. My mom is still alive. She's 93, living in Ireland. I call her two or three times a week. It's cheap now, and she can hardly hear, so I have to go into the garage to talk to her because my wife goes, honey, we can't live in this house if you're talking to your mom. So I said, well, why don't you go out in the garage? Well, that didn't go over very well, I'm just kidding. I know better. I don't have a word to say. I'm telling you right now. But she's still alive. My mom just loves the Lord. I mean, she's got a strong prophetic mantle, faith mantle on her life. And she has this little thing in her living room, a quilt, that says, there's always a place for the righteous of the Lord. The Lord oversees the righteous or takes care of the righteous, something like that. And she really believes that, 100%. You pull into a parking lot, I can't find a spot, Mom will say, there's always a place for the righteous, Phil. You'll get a parking spot. And I say, there's things going on in Israel right now. I don't think God's worried about my parking spot, Mom. You know what I'm saying? And sure enough, front row. I get frustrated all the time. But that's how she lives. And that's how God's taken. And if there isn't one, she'll say that was still a place for the righteous. Okay, Mom, I can't win with you. So, but at the end of the day, that woman's born again. You see, your focus comes to another kingdom. There is another kingdom that you become focused upon. And we put our lives and our time and our talent and our treasure and all we are, not because out of fear, but we believe as we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these other things are added to us as well. I declare you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. There's another kingdom. It's like the story of the one treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then his joy went out. When he found that pearl, he sold all he had, because that was what the kingdom did. When I came to Christ, my life, I won't be much longer, my life changed so completely. My friends changed. My focus in life changed. I regave my life to the Lord and was at Elam before I knew it as a student. And God, you have no rights. Your life belongs to him. Nothing will jam up your life like claiming your rights. Remember, we are called to be servants. Servants have no rights. They belong to another kingdom, the kingdom of God. As I close, my last point, you become a devoted adherent. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Whoever believes, the word believe there is a very interesting word. It means to be a devoted adherent. I choose to be a devoted adherent. In other words, I might have liberties, but I don't use those liberties, because those liberties can affect other people. They can change how other people, you might have the liberty to do something, but they don't. And so you become a devoted adherent. You can't be offended when you're a devoted adherent. You don't have the right to be offended when you're a devoted adherent. Your life is not your own. You can't say, I hold on to this, or this happened, or that happened, or the church did this, or the church did that. I'm going to tell you a really deep truth. Here it comes. Churches are not perfect. They were perfect until you came. Just a joke. Now I'm offended that you said that, Phil. No, it's just a joke. I tell you, one of the greatest tools of the enemy, if you believe you become a devoted adherent, and the Bible says, forgive, forgive as the Lord forgave you, and above all else, clothe yourself with Christ. That's what it says. It's to one's glory to overlook an offense. All these scriptures about offense, because, and Jesus didn't even lie, he said, offense will come. I'm going to say to you, thus saith the Lord, offense will come. How you handle offense in the kingdom of God is how you take yourself to the cross and you crucify yourself and you come up with resurrection life and power. If you don't handle offense right because you don't understand the kingdom of God, then that offense will limit you in going forward in the purposes of God for your life. I'm going to tell you, my father had this saying, and he was a pastor and different things on and off. When he got frustrated with ministry, he went back to his trade, but that's another day and another sermon. But my dad had the saying, I refuse to be offended. Now, I wanted him to be offended sometimes. I wanted him to hear what I was saying and be a little upset. But my dad just held to what his principles were, and at the end of the day, he honestly lived, I can tell you, he honestly lived a life where he did not let offense take him out. Because it's one of the biggest stumbling blocks. And here's what happens. It's like a clock that is smashed on the ground. And the hands stop. And the hands on your life will stand still until you learn how to release offense. It's the most beautiful thing in the world to be able to be told off and have the Holy Spirit upon you and the grace of God upon you, realizing that you are not your defense. God is your defense. And Scripture is so abundant on this. So much is said about it in Scripture, to clothe ourselves with Christ. If you're part of the kingdom, you've got to understand that this is how the enemy works. He will get in there and he will cause you to be offended. The work of God will be hindered. The work of God in your life will be hindered. And all sorts of fruit that is not pleasant will come from your life if you're not willing to learn to how to forgive and overlook offense and move forward. Just move forward. Get, you know. There's a deep theological hymn that I know you all know. It's this. You ready? Let it go, let it go. I don't know the rest of the words, but let it go, let it go. Now, if you've got kids and grandkids, you know that song. You know, because you've heard that ad nauseum from your kids watching that show Frozen, I believe it is. And you're frozen if you don't let it go. Hallelujah. You're a devoted adherent. The Bible says, by your fruit, the people will know you. And when you're serving God, there should be fruit in keeping with repentance. I can tell my wife I love her. I believe in her. But it's my actions that show it. When my wife and I were courting, I don't know if you know Bernard and Sharon Evans, and her aunt was Sylvia Evans, if you know Sylvia. And you didn't just ask Cheryl out, my wife. You had to go to her father and ask her father. And I'm telling you, that was the way it was, period. So I have two or three brother-in-laws or something like that, and I tell them they all owe me money because I was the first one to break into that family with Bernard Evans. They call him Bernard the Bear. He seems like a very nice man, and he is, but when Bernard has a conviction, he's not moving. He's just not moving. So I went to Bernard and I said, listen, if I love her, I have to show her by my actions. I have to go through things that can seem difficult, but if you love to grow, you go through those difficult things. And the church can be a culture. The kingdom of God has principles. And to get to certain places in the kingdom of God, there are certain things in your life that have to be in line. It's just the way it is. That's another sermon, which I don't have time for. So I had to go ask Bernard, can I start to not date? We do not use that word in Bernard's home, but court his daughter. And so I met her right in front of the tabernacle at Elam on the campus. And I said to him, I said, Bernard, I'd like to start to court your daughter. You got 5 more minutes, hold on. And so he said to me, well, he said, why do you want to court my daughter? And I said, well, and it's true about Cheryl, you never have to wonder what she's thinking, my wife. She tells you what she's thinking. I said, well, in those days I said this, I find her delightfully honest. I don't know if I'd call it delightful anymore after 30 some odd years. But you never have to wonder what she's thinking. And she makes it very clear. And at the end of the day, hallelujah. So he says, well, that's good. And I said, plus I'm starting to find her very physically attractive. Because I was all in. Like, I wasn't kidding around. I was serious. I wasn't playing games. I felt like this girl was the girl I wanted to marry. So I just put it all out there. Maybe I shouldn't have, but I just put it all out there. And he said to me, well, that's okay in the right time and the right place, just like that. And I go, oh, of course, of course. But I had to, if I was going to be a devoted adherent and believer, I had to show by my actions. I had to buy an engagement ring. I had to stand in front of a few hundred people and say vows. I had to lay down my life for her. And our courtship was not always easy. This is what she would pray. This is the godly, gentle woman I married. When we were courting, we went through some challenges. And she went into the garage. Now, this was her time in the garage. And she said, Lord, break them. Whatever you have to do, Lord, just break them. The love of a good woman. You know what I'm saying? Break them. I'm going, well, I'm not the only one that's broken here. So her dad brought out a mortar and a pedestal when we were courting, sat us down in the living room, and he said, this is the two of you right now. He started grinding. God is working in your lives to get you ready for marriage. And I said, well, he's working in her life, not mine. I had to be a devoted adherent. I had to believe. I had to show actions. I had to say those vows. I had to do the things. If you're really in love with God, you become a devoted adherent. All sorts of people can say they believe. But if you really believe, your life is not your own. You are from another kingdom. Word of Life Christian Fellowship, the church I've been in decades, exists today because people were from another kingdom. They laid down their lives. They gave their time and their talent and their treasure. Because they believed in something bigger than themselves. Your family will be blessed by the kingdom. Your marriage will be blessed by the kingdom. Your children will be blessed by the kingdom. When you embrace the kingdom of God and give of your lives, your time, talent, and treasure, there's an inheritance far beyond anything that this world can give you. And you know what? In 2 Chronicles, when David wanted to build the temple, I think it's 2 Chronicles 7, the Lord came to him and said, you're not going to build this temple. Another is going to build it. But this is what he says to him. He says, because you've been willing to build my house, come on, get this in you, I'm going to build your house. Woo! Generational. Now, you might have children right now or grandchildren not serving God. You hold on to that promise. As you've sown into the kingdom and the purposes of God, believe that he will build your house. My God is no man's debtor. My girls are serving the Lord, as I said, but there aren't things, I'm not going to tell you, there aren't things that I'm not concerned about. They're like their mother. They're a little rebellious. Not their father. But they are serving God, but I have concerns. And you don't know, my fifth closing, you don't know what God is doing in their lives that you don't see. I'm telling you, the Bible says, train up a child in the way she'll go and it will not depart from them. That means it's still in there. Those seeds are in there. The Word of God is still in there. And you don't know at the right time after they get through their stupid and come to their senses what God will do in their lives. It's just like the prodigal. He grew up in a good home, but he had to go his own way. You don't know what God has in there. My youngest, Lauren, brat of the year. That's what I call her at times. And I didn't know where she was at with the Lord. She wouldn't do anything. There was no behavior that was not godly or anything like that. But I was really concerned with where she was at in the Lord. And about 2 years ago, I got a really bad email that really discouraged me. And I was just sitting in my chair, really discouraged. And she came over and she started praying for me. Like this deep prayer. Like, holy Toledo. And so she's praying like this, fire of God, all that. And I'm just looking at her like. When she was done, she said, amen. And I said, okay, what was that? She goes, what are you talking about? I prayed for you. I said, no. That was fired up, deep, theologically sound, and full of faith. Where did that come from? She goes, what are you talking about? Well, I've been worried about you. She goes, Dad, well, my faith is my business, not yours. Yeah? Now, some of you are agreeing with her. I'm not. Okay? Her faith is my business. But you never know. There's dunamis power, which is dynamite, but then there's exousia, the two Greek words. Exousia power is like a bulldozer. It just keeps moving. You don't know what God... I try to stop a bulldozer. You don't know what exousia power that God is working in your child right now. Do not give up hope. Do not give up hope. And don't beat yourself up. They are responsible for their walk and their faith. They're adults. And they have to make those decisions themselves. So don't beat yourself up. I've seen the best people in the world, one or two of their kids aren't serving God. Don't take it that way. Let God work. Can we stand together? Hallelujah. If you're interested in the prophetic, I'll be sharing more little teaching on the prophetic ministry tonight. Bring your friends who just believe the Lord for a good service together. But thank you for coming this morning. Lord, I pray for every parent here who's concerned maybe about a child or a grandchild or their legacy. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you're working dunamis and exousia power in their child's life. The arm of the Lord is not too short to save. And the more they fight, you don't know, though, what's really going on in their head. You don't know. They might say things, do things, but they're probably just fighting against the truth that keeps itching on them and poking on them and getting them. And so, Lord, we pray, Lord, for repentance, salvation, and hope for any parent here. Bless this house. Bless this church. I thank you, Lord, this church exists because of the faithfulness of God and the faithfulness of people. Be with it, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Pastor, if you want, or...
come tonight at 6:30. And if you're here today and you wanted prayer, someone will be here to pray with you. God bless you.
Thank you, Lord.
Come believing the Lord to move
tonight.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord. Turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full